At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Full Draw Friday number 60. This one, I'm going to be talking about the top five mistakes that people make with their fall food plots. And when we're talking fall food plots, most of the time we're talking brassicas. Obviously, there's some clover blends that you can plant in the fall. You can plant really any type of clover in the fall, and it do okay. But that's more of a spring plot, so I'm going to focus more on the brassicas, wheat, oats, things like that. These are the top five reasons why we see people fail with their fall food plots. We'll get into that, and then we'll get into the weekend. So here we go. All right, so for the top five mistakes people make with their fall food plots. The first one, and I don't know that these are really in any particular order. I think they're all probably equally as big of issues that we see, like commonly, when fall plots do fail. And this is outside of it just being like the last couple years and not raining at all. Obviously, this is stuff that within your control. We're not talking about Mother Nature here, whether it rains or not, things like that. This is all mistakes that people make that they could control, that they could maybe change and do better. So the first one I got is planting your seed too deep. Unless you're planting like winter peas, which need to be probably a half inch deep, or you're putting soybeans, which again, probably about a half inch would be as shallow as you would want to plant those if you're doing those in your fall blend. Aside from either one of those two, and maybe something I'm forgetting, oats for sure need to be buried, again, probably close to half inch. But outside of those three, pretty much anything else you're going to plant in the fall really only needs like a quarter inch depth, an eighth to a quarter, and maybe a half inch at the deepest, but that's getting pretty deep. Anything farther than that is going to be too deep for that seed to germinate, have enough energy to break through the soil, and then grow. It takes a lot of energy for the seed, once it's planted that deep, just to, after it gets moisture, it germinates, and then it comes up. It's got to have energy to break through the soil. That takes a lot of it. So if you get it too deep, it's just going to die without ever sprouting. So you're never even going to see it. It's going to look like you didn't even plant anything. You're just going to have a bunch of dead seed under the dirt. That happens a lot. And the part of the reason that happens is if you're drilling it, you could have your drill set too deep. That's an easy one to do for sure if you're not 100% on how deep you need to be planting this stuff. And again, based on your blend, you'll have to adjust that. Another big one, I think probably the biggest reason that seed gets put in too deep, is you go in with a tiller or even a disc, depending on the soil type, and you work it up really, really fine and really loose. Then you broadcast over the top of it, and then you use like a cultipacker and you go over it, or even a drag, maybe in some cases, if you've got it really fine. And then you go over that, and then you end up pushing that seed down like an inch deep just because you've worked the soil up so fine and so loose that now when that rain comes, it just packs it down and beats it in the ground even farther. Now you're like an inch, or at least close to an inch deep, and it's just never going to make it. That's the biggest reason that seed gets planted too deep, I think, is not necessarily the drill thing, because not a lot of guys are using drills. It's pretty cost prohibitive for most people, so a lot of them are still broadcasting, which is fine. But if you do that, you have to make sure your soil has worked properly, and then know whether you need to roll or cultipack based on that. Usually we try to do it based on what weather we got coming in or what the dirt actually looks like. If it is pretty powdery, I might roll it because it's just going to compact it. It's not really going to bury that seed. But if it's fine and pretty thick, especially if we got rain coming And if there's moisture in the ground, even more so, I'm just going to broadcast that stuff on top and then let the rain do the work. That's the best way you can plant your brassicas, even winter wheats, winter rye, things like that. In my opinion, even clover, if you're doing that, that's the best way to do it, is to work the soil and then broadcast right over the top of it and then let the rain do the rest of the work. If you got a cultipacker and you want to do that, that's fine. You just have to be really careful that you're not getting that seed too deep. On the flip side of that, the second one I got is not getting enough seed to soil contact. So we have it where you could go too deep into the soil, and then on the flip side of that is not getting enough soil contact or not getting any soil contact at all. And this one happens most of the time when you go in and you don't prepare the seed bed well. So let's say you've got a lot of tall weeds or grass or whatever it may be where you're wanting to put that food plot, and you go in and you mow it and you spray it, or maybe you just spray it, or maybe you just mow it, and then you go in and you broadcast and you're hoping the rain works it down to the soil. While in some cases, depending on what you have growing, that might work, most of the time, if you have that thick of cover, when you mow it or when you spray it and kill it, it's going to lay over on the ground, and then that seed is never going to make it to the soil in the first place. Again, there are some instances, like especially if you're doing buckwheat for a cover crop, or if you have, you know, even if it's a stand of mostly like ragweed or something that has a fairly decent sized stem at the bottom, so it looks big and leafy and thick at the top, but at the bottom there's a lot of open soil. That's a situation where you could go in there and plant into it while it's standing, just broadcast into it while it's standing, and then roll it or spray it or mow it or whatever, and then you've essentially just covered the seed and created better seed-to-soil contact, because now that seed's laying on the soil and it has like this effect of putting straw in your yard with all this dead weeds or buckwheat or whatever over the top of it. That works great, but if it's really thick down at the bottom too, like a lot of grass is, and even some weeds that you'll see over the summertime, you're never going to get that seed to the soil, and it's going to be just like the last problem. It's going to look like you never did anything. You're actually probably going to see more weeds and grass grow back, because that seed that you mowed down or whatever is going to be the first ones to make it to the soil. So while you don't want to get it too deep either, you do have to have seed to soil contact. And again, that comes back to preparing the seed bed well. And we use a disc a lot. We use tillers as well. Nate's got a tiller that he uses. They work great. Get in there, mow, spray, whatever you got to do to get it ready for whichever implement you have to work. Work the dirt up, and then you don't need it to be perfect. You just need enough dirt, enough soil, that when you broadcast your seed, it's going to hit it, it's going to make contact with it. And then when that rain comes, or if there's already moisture there, it's going to go ahead and germinate and grow roots and sprout and all of that good stuff. Number three, and this is a big one with brassicas, more so than some of the other stuff, although it could be an issue, I guess, with wheat and rye as well. But number three is planting too early. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. Sometimes I understand that you have to, if we're getting a rain like the end of July, it's really tempting to go ahead and plant those brassicas. And it can still be fine for the late season if you do that. But, and we talked to John from Grandpa Ray about this a couple years ago now, and he said this is the reason a lot of people see deer that aren't eating their brassicas, and then they think the deer don't like brassicas or whatever. This is a lot of the issue. You plant them so early that they mature too early in the season when the deer aren't ready to eat them. So let's say they're still on soybeans or whatever, and the brassicas are hitting their most palatable point. And then once it gets to the top of that, if there's a bell curve of palatability, if it gets to the top of that, then on the backside, the deer don't like it as much. Now, it's still going to grow roots, and they're still going to eat those in the late season, which is fine. If that's what you want and that's what you're aiming for and that's all you want to get out of your brassicas, then you can plant them early and still be okay. But why not get as much use out of them as you can? You're paying for them, right? So you might as well get both uses, which is that early season green food source and then the late season, whether it's greens that are left over or the roots of those turnips and radishes and things like that. So if you plant in the right window, which for us throughout most of the Midwest is a little bit later, you know, August to end of September, just depending on where you fall north and south. If you plant in that window, you're going to hit that palatability just about right with the early season instead of the deer not messing with it because they just, it's not as good to them. And then that's where you see them walking through your brassica plots and not touching anything. A lot of times is because it was planted too early and it just matured too fast. So keep that in mind also. On the flip side of that one a little bit, number four is planting by the date and not the weather. So you can kind of see there's a little bit of dichotomy between these first 4 points, one and two respectively, and three and four. It's always a balance, right? So yes, you want to try to wait and get those things, get those fall plots planted a little bit later so you're not planting them too early and you don't run into the issues I just talked about. But also, you don't want to just look at the package and see August 15th to September 15th and then think you have to plant then no matter what. I did a whole full draw Friday on this back earlier on in the fall planting season, so you guys can go back and check that one out. I'm not going to belabor it too much on this one, but I'm just going to hit on that one again because it is such a big mistake that we see. You see the dates on the package, you think you got to plant it there, you throw it down October 16th and we don't get a rain until September 20th, and then you got nothing but a bunch of seed that didn't grow. It got picked up by birds or it went bad. It's not going to germinate now, even when that rain does come. So wait for a rain. And I know that's not always real possible because even like the plots I planted this year, a couple of them, we had a 40 to 60% chance, depending on where you looked, of rain on that Saturday. And Friday night into Saturday. So I planted them actually that Thursday. We didn't end up getting the rain. Fortunately, we got some rain today. This has been, about a week ago, a little over a week ago. So they should still be viable. Hopefully, I'm going to go back and check on them. And then I'm going to see what I got after that. But if at all possible, wait for that chance of rain. Even if it doesn't come, at least, you know, you waited and you did your due diligence and you tried, and then hopefully you can get another rain coming in on the back end of that. But if you can wait for like a 50% or better chance of rain, that's when you need to be planting that stuff. Whether it's August 10th or whether it's September 25th, that's going to be better than throwing that seed out and it never getting any rain, especially if there's a little bit of ground moisture. So one of the worst things you can do is go in and plant that stuff and have some ground moisture and have it germinate and then sprout or try to sprout, and then you don't get another rain for 3 or 4 weeks because then it's going to be really hard on that crop. It may not even grow. If it does, it's not going to be nearly as healthy and nearly as lush and green, and even you won't even get as much coverage as you would have if you would have waited for that rain in the first place. So planting by the date, not the weather, another huge mistake that we see. And last but certainly not least is just overall giving up on your fall plots. I think that's a big one. When we do one of those first four things and then our plot doesn't turn out the way we thought it should, and we just throw our hands up in the air because it's the end of September or early October and now we just have this dirt field or it's a bunch of dead grass or something like that. Don't give up on your plots until like you just absolutely run out of time to do them. And when I say that, I've planted, and the farmers do it too. I mean, you can plant winter wheat well up into the fall and be just fine. The latest I think I've ever planted my plots was the second week of October and had a good stand of winter wheat. And that's kind of what I'm talking about here. If you do plant your brassicas earlier on, let's say in August, and it was supposed to rain, but it didn't hit and they never sprouted, they never grew, you've got yourself some time to go in and try those again, really all the way up and through the end of September. That's throughout most of the Midwest, right? So you have time to go back and try those again. Even if that fails a second time, or even if you had to wait until late because we just didn't have any rain coming in, and you've tried to plant those brassicas and then the rain didn't come, they didn't work out for whatever reason, you still have time after that to come in with winter rye or winter wheat or even some buck forage oats if you have a way to get those in the ground. That stuff can be planted well up into October. It's better to have something green and young for them in that early season into November, early November, than it is just to have a dirt field, right? This is a huge reason why our fall plots fail, is because we just give up on them too early. So don't look at the calendar again and think, okay, I didn't get it in by September 15th, I guess I'm done. Or don't think, I really wanted a brassica plot here and I didn't get it, so I don't know what else to do. Go get you some winter wheat. If you get an awnless variety, they will actually feed on that in the spring too. So if you want kind of a dual purpose fall and spring food, if you're just only worried about the fall, you can get any kind of winter wheat that you can get your hands on. It's usually pretty cheap. It's usually readily available. Winter rye is a little bit more expensive usually. The deer do tend to prefer it based on all the studies that I've seen. They prefer winter rye over winter wheat. They prefer oats over rye. However, if you're not competing with something else in that area, they're going to eat whatever's available to them. They like it all. So worst comes to worst, go in there with one of those blends or one of those seeds, plant your plots all the way up into October. If you can do it, especially without being too intrusive, do it. Plant it in front of a rain in early to mid-October and see what you get. You're going to be happy that you went back and did that and then had that draw throughout the season, and especially winter wheat and rye. If you get a warm day in December or even January, it's going to be a really good spot to be sitting, and you'd rather have that opportunity than nothing at all because your plots didn't work out like you wanted them to, so you didn't have an early season. So keep that in mind. Hopefully this stuff helps you out. If you've made these mistakes in the past, hopefully you've learned from them. If not, maybe this is a good refresher for you. If you haven't made these mistakes yet, maybe this will keep you from making them in the future. So I know most of us, if you've been doing food plots long enough, you've done this or you've seen this. Sometimes there isn't a lot you can do. Like the last couple years, we didn't get rain really until, we didn't get a decent amount of rain until like the third or fourth week of October. So in that case, it is what it is. But these are the controllable things, five of the biggest ones that we see. Hopefully they help. That's all I got for you guys for this Full Draw Friday. Don't forget to check out Monday's episode. It's going to be a really good one. We got to talk with Josh Fields from Rocky Mountain Hunting Calls. We talked a lot of elk hunting stuff. It was a great conversation with him. So check that one out. But until then, go shoot your bow. Season's right around the corner. Get your stuff ready. Get your cameras up. Get your stands ready to go. Make sure your shooting lanes are trimmed up. And we'll see you on the next one.